Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Every day, more than 100,000 nonprofit arts and culture organizations populate American cities and towns, making their communities more desirable as a place to live and work. They provide enjoyment and inspiration to residents, beautify public places, and strengthen the social fabric of the communities. Quantifying the economic impact of the arts in San Luis Obispo is now in an activity being undertaken through participation in a National Arts and Economics Prosperity 5 study, and we'll be talking about that study today, why it's important, how it's being done, and how you can participate or help with it. My guests on today's show are Angela Tati, Executive Director for Arts Obispo, Wendy Marie Martin, Business Director for the Clark Center, and Eva Aveules. Is that right?
Eva Ulls.
Mm-hmm. Eva Ulls.
Close. Very close.
Say it again.
Ulls.
Ulls. Eva Ulls. Executive Director of the History Center. Our show is live, and we invite you to join our conversation today with your comments and questions by calling us at 781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875, and I'll be giving you that number again. And welcome to
Thank
all
you.
Three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is really an interesting topic, again, a great topic during Pledge Drive, because certainly music, the arts, is something that has been talked about astoundingly today, and something that is shared through this station quite frequently. And, you know, quantifying how valuable they are to the economy in this community, what a rich endeavor. So how is that done?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's beyond the quality of life attributes that you mentioned at the top of the program. The arts are an industry, and the arts include arts, culture, and heritage organizations. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, I hope. But we can measure the impact of those industries. They support jobs. They generate government revenue. And they are the cornerstone of tourism. And so what we're mining is two things through this study. We're looking at the nonprofit sector, and we are studying the organization's financial impact on the community. So, for instance, the Clark Center pays staff. They pay sales tax. They buy printing. They buy supplies. Mm-hmm. All of that is going back into the economy. So through the lens of their IRS Form 990, the study will mine that information and find out what the impact of the organizations themselves is. And then we're intercepting audiences at the events all over the county produced and presented by nonprofit arts, culture, and heritage groups. And we'll be asking the visitors the nosy questions that are completely anonymous but help us put together the data, such as their education level, their income level. How many days did they spend the night here? Did they put money into a hotel? Did they go to a restaurant? Did they buy gasoline? Did they buy a new outfit to go to the opera? Mm. And it's completely anonymous again, but all of that information then is tabulated in Washington, D.C., and we'll see the results. It will say what the economic impact is per person that visits and attends an event.
When we're talking about the arts, let's talk a little bit about what's included in that. You know, when I mentioned I was doing this show to my husband, he went, great, you're going to talk about, you know, people that do paintings, right? And that's included.
Well,
but what are we talking about?
I'd love for Wendy to talk about our steering committee, which is representative of visual, performing, and literary arts and heritage.
Yeah, it's a really good cross-section. It's made up of some of the leaders in our arts community, cultural community, really. Andrea Castillo is from the Performing Arts Center at the PAC. Maggie Cox is Barnett and Cox and Associates. Sharon Dobson from the Opera Slow. Janice Fong Wolf from the Community Foundation of Slow County. Bettina Swigger from Festival Mosaic, Angela Tahiti, Arts Obispo, who is our leader. Patty Thayer is from the San Luis Obispo Little Theater. I'm from the Clark Center. And Aoife Uhls is the History Center. So we have a cross-section of culture, arts, performing arts, fine arts, and music.
So we're really looking at visual, what we're hearing.
Performing.
Mm-hmm.
Literary artists, including yep. poetry readings, book releases, and, of course, the work of the Heritage and History cohort, which I'll have Aoife speak
well,
to.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about how history organizations, and there are more than 24 really active history organizations in San Luis Obispo County. They run museums, historical societies, archives, libraries, and they contribute to their communities by preserving history and by presenting events and programming. And I've been thinking a lot, you know, how do we contribute to the arts? Where is that connection? And I think what I've come to, and this is still a nascent idea, and I'm looking forward to working with my colleagues to develop it, but the preservation of history and culture gives us a sense of community. It provides a bedrock for our culture of today by looking and drawing on the past. Whether we've been here for 6 months or 60 years, we're all a part of the San Luis Obispo community, and we find our stories through our history organizations, and we come together. But we also preserve culture in very pure and almost sterile forms at our history groups. It's captured in time like a piece of amber. But that is being preserved there not just to keep it in a closet, but so that an artist or a student can come and be inspired and can reappropriate the past into the present and create the future, which I know sounds very grant speak. But it's just a really exciting concept that we have a lot to offer to people today, and we would like to see more of that be used.
Absolutely. So why is the study important?
It's important because elected officials and grant givers, funders, they often look for the statistics. They like to hear the qualitative reasons that arts are providing for health, arts are providing prevention services, arts are providing education, arts are providing enrichment and enjoyment, arts for seniors, arts for youth and disabled. But they also want the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to quantify, and this study will help us. It will go a long way in defining the nonprofit sector's impact and to see what our audiences look like in cultural tourism here.
Yeah, I think it's also an important tool for us in dealing with our donors because they like to be effective. And when they see that they're part of a much, much bigger picture and that they're supporting the arts, in our case, supporting the Clark Center is supporting an entire nationwide fabric that's happening. And they get to be a part of a nationwide survey, which makes them feel important and like they're doing their part for the arts.
Now, this is a national study 5. So there have been 4 that have been done previously.
Yes.
In other places in the nation, right?
Yes.
How was it that we were selected? Did you apply for that? How did that come to be?
Here's the genesis, actually, of our participation. So as some of you may know in the listening audience, I've been on board at Arts Obispo for a year. And when I came from another county, I had been involved in that study. But we have a bi-monthly meeting called the Slow Cats. And this is a cohort of arts and heritage leaders who come together and exchange ideas and develop projects of mutual interest to advance our field. And this group, I saw in the notes, tried to devise a study on the impact of the arts about 4 years ago. And I brought that back to the table and they just lit up. And I said, you know, there's a national study. And 2016 is the 5th time that Americans for the Arts will orchestrate the study. And it was an immediate and resounding, yes, let's do it. So we did have to apply and buy into the study. It's about $10,000 plus administration. And we are one of 300 organizations across the country studying a particular city, or in our case, a county. And this is the 5th round. But San Luis Obispo has never before participated, so this is new for us.
And is there a requirement for the size of the community, the size of the art community? Or
no, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But the study is such that they're looking at rural and mm-hmm. Metropolitan communities, some cities, some counties, and it's going to really be representative of the nation's.
I think it'll be doubly valuable because we can compare the same studies being conducted at, as Angela said, hundreds of areas around the country. We'll be able to see where San Luis Obispo stacks up. And it, we also have the benefit of the experience of the people who developed it at the national level. And, you know, we're a geographically isolated community in San Luis Obispo County to a certain extent. But we really can take such great advantage of statewide and national programs like this to help better what we do.
Now, is this study done like every 3 years, every 2 years?
Americans for the Arts orchestrates the study at 5-year intervals.
Oh, okay. 5-year intervals.
5-year intervals.
Okay. So Santa Barbara was in the last study? Is
actually,
that correct?
Our cohorts in Santa Barbara County, the Santa Barbara Arts Commission, have led the study in Santa Barbara County in each of the four prior national studies. So they're in once again.
Okay, and they're in this study.
And they're in this study. So that's really nice that we'll have a larger swath of the Central Coast weighing in, and we'll get to see, we'll get to zoom into the data set nationally and regionally and countywide.
So what does the study look like? What happens with the study? Is it a survey? Is it, you know, how does that apply to the different types of arts?
So let's have Wendy talk to the study, the survey that we're using to intercept audience members. That's one part, talking to the audiences. What is their demographic?
Yes, we have at the Clark Center, we're reporting every quarter, and we have a team of volunteers in the lobby as our audience members come in that approach patrons and just ask them if they would like to be part of a quick survey. It takes about 3 minutes to get through the entire survey, unless you get a little chatty. But they do warn them up front that there are some nosy questions, as Angela likes to say, which I think is a good warning when you're asking somebody their annual income levels or their education levels, or do they plan to vote next year, which are a couple of the questions on there. But generally, we've had very little resistance to the questions. Mm-hmm. Most of our patrons are glad to help. We have a little sticker that we put on them afterward that says, "I support the arts." So they're only approached once, so they know they're not going to be bothered. But they feel like they're a part of this, of this program, and they're helping the arts, which they are already a fan of because they're in the lobby. So most of the questions are, let's see, there's actually 11 of them total. And it will ask questions pertaining to any monies they may have spent in regards to the performance or event that they're attending. So if they went to dinner, if they stayed in a hotel, if they purchased any clothing for the event, and we go if they're paying for any child care, the price of the tickets that they bought for the event, if there are tickets. It will ask them some general sort of information about themselves, why they're in San Luis Obispo County, because we have quite a few people coming from out of the area, so we can identify who's local, who's coming in, from how far away, which is always interesting information. And their age, and like I said, the education and income levels. So,
and then how would this be used, for instance, if it was an art exhibit?
So the art exhibit would be similarly, it's not one event, but perhaps their hours are Tuesday through Saturday, mm-hmm. 10 to 5,
right.
Or they have an opening night event, and the attendees at the gallery, people who frequent the gallery, would be intercepted, and the same question set would be asked of them. And they may or they may not be from town, mm-hmm. so the data varies depending on the visitor.
And the same thing would be if it was, for instance, an art exhibit that was part of a festival or something that was
yes.
taking place, say, in Morro Bay or
absolutely.
Sea Glass Festival, something
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Participate.
Absolutely. What's Montaña de Oro, the
yeah.
the center that's there? What is that called? I'm sorry if I forgot.
There's the Morro Bay Natural History Museum.
Thank you. The Natural History Museum will be studied because
okay.
it is a nonprofit, and it is in the history arena.
Right.
So that will be studied. We studied Children's Day on the Plaza and Passport for the Arts a couple of weeks ago on Mission Plaza. And you'll see the data skew there to much younger parents with children. The survey asks how many are in your party and how many children under 18. So it's looking at what types of audiences go to which types of events.
And how long is this survey going to go on?
The survey was launched in January and will be studying through December 2016. And our goal is 1,000 visitor intercepts throughout the year, a wide swath of disciplines, arts and cultural and heritage disciplines, and geographies of the county. We really want to push out to the county, make sure we pick up something in Chandon and pick up something in Napomo, and not just the center. And it's going to bring back data to us by June after the tabulation in Washington, D.C. It's going to tell us things like how many full-time equivalent jobs are there in the arts, and what's the average resident household income for arts attendees, and how much local government revenue is generated, state and federal, and so on. And it's the combination of the audience intercept survey and, as I mentioned, looking at the organizations themselves, how much money through the lens of their IRS Form 990, how much money is going back into our community with their activity.
Okay. If you just joined us, you're listening to Central Coast Voices here on KCBX, your public radio station. We're talking about quantifying the economic impact of the arts in San Luis Obispo County through a National Arts and Economic Prosperity 5 study. And I'm joined by Angela Tahiti, Executive Director for Arts Obispo, Wendy Marie Martin, Business Director for the Clark Center, and Eva Ulls. I'll get that sooner or later. Executive Director for the History Center. If you have a question or a comment, you're invited to join our discussion today. All you need to do is call us at 805-781-3875. Again, 781-3875. So how is the economic impact of the arts and culture organizations different from other industries? Or is it?
Gosh, that's a good question. Well, it is a significant economic engine, and we'll be able to look at that against other industries. But we do have a significant piece of the cultural, of the tourism pie here, cultural tourism. And we are working with Visit San Luis Obispo County, the destination marketing organization for our county. They are also conducting a study. They call it a wallet study. A wallet study. A piece of the wallet. How much of your wallet when you're visiting is going back into the community. But they're looking across all sectors. And we're zooming in on arts and cultural activities. So the two things will complement one another. And they promote three pillars. They promote the coast attributes. People come here for the beaches and the idea of the Central Coast and Highway 101. And they promote the culinary. People come here for the wonderful wine and food and beer. And they come here for the cultural attributes. But our study will really assist them in understanding more about how visitors see us, what they're already attending. And as a matter of fact, last Friday, we had our first arts and tourism roundtable with Visit San Luis Obispo County so that we can begin to articulate and work together to improve arts marketing.
We have some of the most, well, I'm prejudiced, but we have some of the most beautiful uninterrupted coastline in California, which means we also have some uninterrupted, amazing historical sites that are just the only places where you can see something like that. At the Dana Adobe, for example, in Napomo, which I hope is a site that you're in contact with and will be studying.
Yes.
The Dana Adobe, you can stand on the Adobe porch and literally see what the Dana family saw 150 years ago when they looked out. And there's not many places in California you can
do
that.
There are a number because of all of the protected areas that you can look here. I mean, it is beautiful.
The view from Hearst Castle.
A couple of things this brings to mind is that what we know about the trend in cultural tourism, that cultural tourists are respectful. When they visit, they're low impact on a community. They're curious. They want to know more. If they're here for any other reason, maybe they're they're going to the beach, maybe they're here for a conference, or maybe they're checking out the university for their son or daughter. But if they're arts interested, they stay longer and they spend more money.
Will this survey be able to demonstrate that?
Yes.
It will. So yes. You're really going to be able to demonstrate the people that are coming here perhaps for the arts as opposed to taking advantage of the arts when they simply happen to be here.
We'll see both.
Okay.
We'll see both because it's capturing zip codes and it's capturing overnight activity. So we can see the difference between somebody that lives here and somebody that is visiting and staying. And another interesting thing to think about is the voting question. In the last national study, culturally interested individuals vote at a rate of 94%.
Wow.
That's interesting.
So we're a strong voting bloc. You know, we really are. We are.
They're more involved.
Involved, yeah. Engaged citizens. And the only studies... surveys that have come back so far with a no in the box for voting really has to do with citizenship. Mm-hmm. They're visitors from another country, so the answer is no.
That's really fascinating.
We've really seen high yes, resounding yes.
Has that
for voting.
Been national?
I suspect so because I'm anecdotally I'm right. thinking it will be similar because 5 years ago it was 94%. So. That visitors who are here for cultural purposes spend more and stay longer. And in 2010, the amount that they spent on average nationally was $24.36 per event that they attended. That's $25 roughly more per event going back into your community.
Now, when I was fascinated when I was doing a little research about this, you extract the money that they spend on the actual ticket
yes.
for an event. Why is that?
Well, we want to know a difference because we're looking at the organizational surveys, organizational information, and part of that ticket money is going back into the 990, right? That's part of the organizational
right.
study. So we want to...
So you want to look at what's incremental
yes,
to that.
Right. We being the scientists right. want to take a look at the array of expenditures. Is it on incidentals? Is it on gas? Is it on food? Is it on the ticket itself?
What in the survey that you participated in before, were there results other than the voter result that surprised you or that was of interest to you?
I think, frankly, the range of ages for visitation in my prior experience was wider. I was in Placer County.
Okay.
And there was a wider range than we guessed because there's a lot of hype that arts audiences are aging. But the survey revealed that we really have younger families and younger audiences really enjoying free nonprofit arts and cultural events and activities. And I think our participation in one case was during the Great Recession, and I think there was a correlation there. People were yearning for things to do. It was exactly the time to provide more arts, not less, because families really needed it. They could no longer afford to go to a movie or to go out to dinner or to take a trip, a vacation. So it was really important for them to be able to access cultural and
it's
educational.
It's great to hear that there were families involved, and I hope we see that in the results here in San Luis Obispo County. It's been largely demonstrated that children who attend museums with their parents are more likely than any other group of people to attend museums as adults.
Yeah. Do you find here that there is a strong connection between the history faction and the arts faction? Do you see yourself as really together?
You know, I don't know that I'm fairly new to the county, so I'm speaking only of my experience, and I see that those opportunities are growing, but I see that maybe they've lapsed in recent years as our organizations have grown. They've, to a certain extent, grown apart, and we've started trying to bring them back together, and I'm really excited to see people like Angela and Wendy Marie here in the county working to bring people together, not only the people who attend the organizations, but the organizations themselves.
Absolutely. What do you hope, Angela, to be able to get out of this survey?
Well, I really hope that this is a galvanizer for all types of agencies who are producers of arts, culture, and heritage. And I think Eva just spoke very well to that.
Yeah.
A galvanizer. And that we will be able to share these data, and they will provide improved conversations with our donors and funders and elected officials at every level, local and state and national, and it will help our dialogue.
Are there very many funding opportunities for the arts here in this county currently?
Well, we do have some wonderful providers in the Community Foundation.
That are benefactors.
Yeah. You can each speak to that. I've been here a year. You've been here longer than that. Mm. You want to speak to it.
Yeah, we... There are arts-specific grant opportunities through the Community Foundation. We haven't done that lately with the Clark Center because they tend to be project-based. And so it's really more supporting a project that you're already having in planning. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're creating a project, which, you know, for most nonprofits that are going on a lean staff is...
It's hard to do something new.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when I was at the Little Theater, we took advantage quite often of a couple of the grants because they have one that was specifically for scholarship money for the children, which was a fantastic opportunity to offer the kids in the educational program underwriting so they could take classes. And that was a grant that we applied for regularly, and I believe they still apply for it. And also the Arts Inspires grant, which is incredibly helpful for things like putting in a new ticketing system or a new volunteer management system. Or it's amazing how that foot up just lets you get traction so you can take it over and go from there.
Right.
And it's just not possible.
I think there are some fantastic, well-designed, which is what you're talking about, Wendy, well-designed and extremely generous foundation, family foundation, and individual donors here in the county. But I also see a lot of people who are retiring here or moving here as a second home from LA or the Bay Area. And they still, in some cases, have allegiance to the cultural organizations where they came from. And to be honest, the LACMA is a pretty big museum. Mm. It's impressive. It has a big footprint. And I think that surveys like this and partnerships like the things that Arts Obispo has been leading and that we've all been participating in show those donors that our local countywide organizations have just as much punch. We're a little smaller, but we can really fight with the big guys, and we can advocate to bring in national dollars from the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowments for the Arts, and we can show those donors that we have amazing art scenes and cultural scenes here in San Luis Obispo County that they should be supporting.
Well, that's why a lot of people retire here. I think the arts community is a huge reason that many people choose to retire here. It, not just because the beauty of the area and the wine and that industry, but they know that they can get the cultural quality here without having to drive.
We have some amazing artists that
are
here.
Yes, we do.
In all the communities.
And a lot of them.
A lot. A lot.
And we're all looking forward to studio tours coming up in the fall.
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun. I think that I wanted to mention the California Arts Council is our flagship for the state, and Arts Obispo is the state local partner, one per county in the state. And so our job is to be the expression of the state's goals locally. And so this study really is a part of increasing investment in the private and public sector for the arts. This study will go a long way to help demonstrate our value, and we'll also glean things from it to help us in our marketing plans. It will help us because we're taking a look at audience traffic throughout the whole year across the county. We might see some trends in the data that tell us, oh, you know, we need to market more to families and children in the summer, visitors in the what they call shoulder season or the off season.
Right.
Well, what we learned last Friday looking at our array of arts presentations at the Arts and Tourism Roundtable is we really have year-round programming here.
There's low season is our high season.
Yes. So. There's something to do all year-round in the arts and culture.
And pretty much in every community.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, it's hard sometimes for the nonprofits because they're competing, I think.
Well, it's harder just to choose. Yeah. I have three or four different events I could go to this weekend alone.
Yeah.
And I'm double booked for one of them, which I just found out before. And you want to go to everything because it's very, the community theater, for example, offerings here are on a professional level often. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that you don't have to drive to LA or San Francisco to get that quality here.
And yeah. Can I give a shout out for the opera? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Fantastic.
And the symphony.
Yeah, the
yes,
symphony.
We have so much.
You also don't have to wait in line to volunteer. Mm-hmm. There are so many organizations that have really meaningful volunteer work in arts, culture, and heritage. And it's a lot of fun. You have a docent program. Mm.
We do. And I like to think of our volunteers and even our staff as being served by the organizations as well. I mean, if you look at the people who are on the stage of the little theater, they're volunteer actors. They're
yes.
from the community. And although the audience loves them, they're fantastic. They're getting as much out of it as the audience is.
Absolutely. If you're listening to us now, you're hearing us on Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas to Paso Robles, 89.5 Santa Barbara, and around the world and the web at kcbx.org. As communities compete for tourism dollars, arts and culture has proven to be magnets for travelers and their money. Quantifying the economic impact of the arts in San Luis Obispo County is our topic today. And I'm joined by my guests, Angela Tahiti, Executive Director for Arts Obispo, Wendy Marie Martin, Business Director for the Clark Center, and Eva Ivalos.
Ivalos.
And it's Tati.
We're all going to learn.
It is Tati.
It's Tati, although I'd love to go to Tahiti someday.
I know, I was going
to
say,
I had
very
Tati first, and then I thought you said Tahiti. Executive director for the History Center.
Luckily, you don't need to know our names to visit our organization.
No kidding. Right. I'm going to start calling you Angela, Wendy, and Eva.
You can call me Ray.
You should also... you're also invited to bring your voice into our discussion, and maybe I'll pronounce your name right. And you can do so by calling us at 781-3875. And we have Lucy. And Lucy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you.
Had a question or comment.
Yeah, I had a comment. I wanted to help make your listeners aware of a program, several programs, provided by the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center. This is the foundation is a community fundraising thing that supports activities in the Performing Arts Center that's on the Cal Poly campus. It doesn't belong, that hall does not belong to Cal Poly. It belongs to San Luis Obispo, the people thereof. But the foundation raises a lot of money and provides a lot of access that I want people to know about. The children's concerts that are presented there by the San Luis Obispo Symphony and other organizations. The most of those are free to all of the students. And in fact, as of the last couple of years, the foundation pays for the buses to bring students in from schools. If the schools apply, they have to ask for it. But if a school says, golly, we don't have a budget to pay for the buses to get the students there, then the foundation will provide the buses at no cost. And also, when a touring group rents the Performing Arts Center, they pay full freight, very expensive. When a local nonprofit performs there, the foundation picks up a huge proportion of their costs. I think it's 3/4 of it. But I could be wrong, could be half. But anyway, the cost to rent that beautiful hall is much, much less for nonprofits than it is for the touring companies. So, you know, sometimes I hear people complain about the cost of tickets and how hard it is to get into that hall because it's expensive. But I just wanted people to know that if it's a nonprofit, you should contact the foundation and see if, you know, you can get a reduced rate because they are available.
So I have a question for you, Lucy. How are you going to support the survey?
Oh, well, I'm very interested in hearing about the survey. And as I I hope I get surveyed.
Angela, is the PAC, and Lucy, I adore what the foundation does. They are so important to the community. Is the PAC part of the team that's participating in the survey, Angela?
Performing Arts Center is participating in the survey, and organizations that present at the beautiful Performing Arts Center, such as Opera Slow, are studying their events. We would welcome you, Lucy, to volunteer. We will need survey takers at a number of events, and we would love for you to volunteer and help with that. It's actually a lot of fun.
Great.
Well, thank you for making me aware of that. I may well do that, and thank you for this program. It's very, very interesting. I'm really big on making all the arts accessible to everybody. I'm a former school teacher, and I taught so many children whose parents didn't have the means or the awareness of how important this was.
Great.
And so anything we can do to bring families with their children or the children directly from school, whatever it takes, it's just super important.
Great.
So,
thanks, Lucy. And we have Charlie. Are you there, Charlie?
Yes, sure am.
Hi. You had a question or comment?
Are you ready to talk to me here? Yeah, Charlie, we're talking about some of the various musical groups. Basin Street Regulars, a group that for 40 years has been bringing good quality jazz, hot swinging jazz, Dixieland to the Pismo area. We have our Jazz Jubilee coming up the last full weekend in October. And every Sunday, usually last Sunday of the month, we have our regular sessions at the Pismo Vets Hall, 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Last month, in April, we had the Cabrillo High School Jazz Band. Next month, we're having a junior high school, second appearance of a junior high school jazz band from Bakersfield. We really encourage youth groups. Yeah, we'd like possibly like we need support. We'd like to get some. Maybe we can get some more information for you on how to tie into some of the foundations.
Charlie, this is Angela from Arts Obispo. Who's the presenter of the Jazz Jubilee? Is there a nonprofit?
It's the Basin Street Regulars.
Is that a nonprofit organization?
Yes, it is.
Okay, you know I would love for you to call our office and make sure that we have that organization on our master list of nonprofits so that we can be sure to have the Jazz Jubilee surveyed.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because you, Charlie, you've got, and you do have great music. I've been there before. It's a fun group, but it would be great to do a survey there. And you have quite a few people that come for that event.
Yeah,
on the weekends. So that would be great.
Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Do you have a pen with you?
I certainly do.
Okay. I'd love for you to call our office at 544-9251.
251, and that's Arts Obispo?
That's right. And Raven will answer the phone and let her know that you're a nonprofit and you have an event to be studied in October, and she'll take it from there with you.
Great. Good.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Charlie.
You bet. Right.
And so that's really a good thing for other nonprofits that may be listening to this who maybe don't think that they're involved but have something that they're doing, events that they're putting on routinely that have attendance. I mean, they should call.
Correct. And it also can be a group that is not incorporated as a nonprofit.
Okay.
As long as it's not for profit. If it's unincorporated and it's behaving as a nonprofit and it's presenting in the cultural arena or heritage.
Explain what that means.
That means it's an informal group, but they're putting on some sort of event which is open to the public.
Okay.
Okay, it could be an event, it could be an exhibition, but they're not incorporated as a nonprofit. So that event or that exhibition is eligible to be studied. So we want to hear from you. You may not have been on the master list because we developed the master list in combination with the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County, the IRS, and then what we already knew at Arts Obispo, and those three things combined. But there could be informal organizations who have never
registered.
Like
the Friends of the Library, for example.
Right.
They have events that you would not, and it's interesting because also the history sector, you don't necessarily immediately think of that when you say cultural arts. You usually think performing arts or fine arts. But, you know, the Friends of the Library in Rio Grande, which I'm on the board for, we have regular book sales and events and support cultural events inside of the library and actually collaborated with the San Luis Obispo History organization last year to do a calendar, which was a fantastic project.
And you're having a poetry reading in Rio Grande
on Saturday.
And we
are having poetry readings. And so I think a lot of times people might not think of themselves as being either big enough or a particularly cultural group, but that information would be incredibly interesting for us to have as a part of to completing the roundness of the study.
Yes, it's very nuanced, visitation and traffic to the arts, and that's a very good point, and we would want to hear from the library groups and be able to study the gallery exhibits, the poetry readings.
What's your phone number again?
It's in 805-544-9251. Or you can email us at office@artsobispo.org.
And so you do need more volunteers to help with survey taking. And what does that look like for people in terms of what do they have to do any training? Do they, you know, time commitment?
We can do training over the phone, or you can visit our office to do a little in-person training session. But if you go to our website, the front page of the website, artsobispo.org, you'll find a call for volunteers specific to this study. You click through that, and it's a very short intake form. We're basically learning where you're from, like which community do you live in, and what the best times for you to volunteer would be. And then we would try to match you with the right event so that your available time matches up. For instance, Festival Mosaic has heavy programming season in July with multiple events around the county.
Right.
And we absolutely need, we need a team of volunteers for those events, and volunteers who live in Shandon, and volunteers in Paso, and volunteers in SLO. So,
are you going to be doing events like the Mid-State Fair?
We may be studying the cultural exhibits at the Mid-State Fair. We're not positive yet, and that's about volunteerism. So I really encourage those of you in the listening audience, and also in Santa Barbara County, please check in with our cohort at the Santa Barbara Arts Commission to see if they need a hand there.
So if I'm hearing correctly, really your study is going to be as expansive as you've got the volunteers to be able to conduct the study.
Right. We do have organizations who are self-powered, such as the Clark Center. They have ample volunteers, and they've trained them. They have a really good program in place. But there are other organizations who are not set up for that, or they have a host of volunteers who are already deployed to other jobs.
Right.
And so we need to augment that for this study.
Okay.
But it's a really good introduction. Mm-hmm. And there are some organizations who are inducing the volunteerism with tickets to the event. And I know that's true for Festival Mosaic. So if you volunteer, for instance, for Festival Mosaic, Survey Intercept, you will be thanked with a ticket.
Okay. Are you surveying, for instance, at Vina Robles for the events that are there?
For the arts, arts and music events?
Mm-hmm.
Some of those are being studied, yes.
Okay. So, it, you know, it behooves people, if they want to get involved and they can attend the events too, you can at least listen while you're surveying.
Here's another example of an eligible attraction that you wouldn't necessarily think of because it's not a nonprofit. It is an asset of a municipality, of a city. It's the Jack House.
Mm-hmm. So yes.
So that is a Jack House. It's under the jurisdiction of the city, but it is eligible because it's an historic attraction and it has public tourism.
And in fact, the Jack House, I'm on the city's committee for the Jack House, and we are so proud to be part of Arts Obispo's Art After Dark this year for the first time.
That's wonderful.
That's been a wonderful addition to Art After Dark, and people are having, you have an unprecedented number of visitors now during
the three-hour program. We've had more visitors to the Jack House during Art After Dark than we usually get in an entire month combined in a single night. It's fantastic.
Oh, really? That's fantastic.
It's what it's all about. People learning, discovering.
Absolutely. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you on Central Coast Voices on KCBX FM, the Central Coast Public Radio Station, Salinas to Ventura, around the world at kcbx.org. If you're just joining us and you want to hear today's entire show, it's quite possible. The show is available on our website, will be available tomorrow, at least by tomorrow. On kcbx.org/programs and Central Coast Voices. Angela Totti, Executive Director for Arts Obispo, is with me. Wendy Marie Martin, Business Director for the Clark Center. And Eva Ivaluz.
Very close.
Eva Ulz. I'm so close. Executive Director for the History Center are with me. And we've been talking about...
I was going to say, while I'm on the corrections train, I'm actually the Curator and Director is my official title. I didn't get a chance to... it's a very small difference.
Curator and Director.
Curator and Director.
Fine. Go ahead and just correct me all over the place. Curator and Director. The Curator is very impressive, by the way. Curator and Director for the History Center are with me today talking about National Arts and Economic Prosperity 5 study. San Luis Obispo are participating in this year with Santa Barbara County, actually. And we're talking about what it is, why it's important, how you can participate. We have about a little less than 15 minutes in today's show and time for just a couple of more phone calls. You can reach us at 781-3875. And we have Joan. Joan, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
I'm from the Foundation for San Luis Obispo County Public Libraries, and I wanted to know, are we on your list, and then is there some way we can contribute to this?
I cannot answer, Joan, whether you're on the list right now because it's not in front of me, but I encourage you to call our office at 544-9251. And Raven will answer that question. Raven will answer that question, and we certainly would want you to be on the list if you are not already, and to identify an event or two that we would like to study.
Yeah, we already have had a couple of events this year involving having authors come and speak at the PAC. We've worked with Cal Poly Arts. And, you know, we like to get what we're doing out there, and we like to get our name out into the community, because most of the time when you say Foundation for San Luis Obispo County Public Libraries, people's reaction is, ooh, what? We sponsored the summer reading program of across the county, and we are a countywide organization. We're very, you know, proud of the work we do, but we're very little known, and so I'd just like to get a shout-out for the foundation.
Well, as a representative of the Friends of the Rio Grande Library, you are very much appreciated.
Well, thank you very much. We like you, too.
I second that. I'm new to this community, but the first thing I did is get my library card.
Yeah, me too. I moved here in 98, and that's the first thing I think I did. Thank you very much, ladies. Appreciate that. I'll try that number then.
Thank you, Joan.
Thanks.
So we have about 12 or 13 minutes, but I want to make sure that we get to the information that you want to. So I'm going to go back to you, Angela. And
I have a button that says, I love data. I'm not wearing it today, but it's on my desk. And I do love data. I love to have the human interaction in the arts and culture, and that's what drives my involvement in this work, and it's the reward that I look for. But it's also fun to look at the numbers. So remember earlier in the program I mentioned that in 2010, as a voting bloc, arts and culture is 94% voters. Mm-hmm. We vote at a rate of 94%. So I'm actually holding the Creative Industries Report for Congresswoman Lois Capps' district, District 24. And in this district, we have 2,400 businesses that are arts and cultural businesses. And that is equivalent to 7,600 jobs. And that's the 2015 report. So let's see what it looks like in another year when we have this data, this new data set. It's pretty exciting. And the categories include arts, schools and services, design and publishing, film, radio and TV, museums and collections, performing arts, and visual arts and photography. And it's nuanced inside of those categories. It's pretty exciting to see how big of an economic engine we are and the diversity.
Absolutely. How about for you, Wendy Marie? What is important for you to share today about this and what you'd like to see happen and how people can get involved?
I'd like to encourage those who are approached to put their fears aside that anybody is going to attach their name to a number or come after them. It's a completely anonymous.
Okay.
Nobody's going to be coming to you saying, I see here that you make over $250,000.
Right.
Would you like to donate?
You didn't claim that on your tax return.
Exactly. So it is absolutely anonymous, and it really is simply allowing us to send information to Washington, D.C. to put in the master computer that will allow us across the country to quantify what we do and the impact we have on our economy. And I think that we notice a little bit of a resistance in some of the older patrons that we have to give the answer to that the salary question.
Sure.
You know, the first time we surveyed, we did it during a performance that was mostly 30 to 50 year olds probably, and had everybody fill it out. And in the last one, there was a bit less. And I think it's the fear of, you know, people who don't like to pay online, for example. It's that sort of generation.
Mm-hmm.
And just to ease their mind that there's absolutely no chance that anyone's going to connect your identity to this information, and that the information you're giving us is so important to giving a platform for the arts to request larger grants, to request more funding from the state, because we're giving back to our local and our state and our nationwide economy on a regular basis.
You know, and when I just had this visual too when I was mentioning at the beginning of the show how the art community has contributed to just even the way the community appears. You can drive in San Luis Obispo, and even on the electronic boxes, you know, you can see the artist's work.
Yeah.
And what an impact that has had sitting at a stoplight.
And all the public art displays.
And the public art displays that are in the different communities
the city of San Luis Obispo is in the midst of its public art master planning process. There's a meeting next week, and you can find information and a survey on their website as well.
Right. We really encourage everybody to go to this slowcity.org link and click on the public art master plan survey. It's important to have community input, and it matters not whether you live in the city. It's more important that you complete the survey because it's for everyone that comes through the city.
Absolutely. So do participate in the surveys. Is it a problem if people participate in more than one survey in more than one location? If they filled out a survey, should they do another?
No. You're talking back to the economic impact survey. They may be surveyed twice if they say were surveyed at the Clark Center.
And now they're
and
at the PAC.
They're at the Performing Arts Center
now,
or at Studios on the Park in Paso. It's a random intercept.
Okay.
So once you're at another event, you potentially could be surveyed again.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Yes. Yes, and I wanted to mention that we're talking a lot about the arts and culture and heritage, but we've perhaps all heard that San Luis Obispo has the distinction of having more nonprofits per capita than anywhere in the nation.
Absolutely.
And I know, Chris, you are involved with the important San Luis Obispo hospice program, and we want to make sure that everybody understands that the arts are a complement to the greater nonprofit community. And in fact, across the board, organizations are working in education, in prevention services, in
healthcare.
Homeless, in healthcare, and social services. Human connection is improved through the arts and culture and heritage. And so we're all together in this, and we appreciate the richness of this nonprofit community.
You wrote a statement we get a little intro from everybody that's going to come on to this show, and you had written something about how children, you know, I mean, from the time children are born, they're involved in the arts.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'd really like you to express that, if you would, because I thought it was really succinctly put about how important arts and history and all of that is.
Let's see if I can say it off the cuff, how it came out of my fingertips onto the computer. But sometimes the misperception is that the arts are for someone else, people with talent. Or I don't know anything about the arts. It's out here. That's more an unusual perception in this country. You don't see it in other parts of the world where you are raised with the arts as part of your household. It's not something separate. But in fact, the arts are all around us. And it starts when the baby opens his eyes and looks at the dimensions of his mother's face. And its dimension, its proportion, its rhythm, its all of the things that you think about in math, in science, and in language arts. It's all part of the arts disciplines. It's all around us, and it's for everybody.
Nicely put. I thought that was, you know, that really spoke to me when I read it, and I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, that's really what the show is about and what we're trying to add. Some kind of a monetary description of as well, because as you put it in your description to me, you also wrote artsy fartsy in that, which I think is another description I think that people use about art when they really don't, when they're trying to separate it.
I think art also creates permanent value in communities. It's not just for this year or 5 years or 10 years. Art is the way that we travel through time. We look at a painting and we can travel back to when somebody painted it 150, 300 years ago. And when we make an artistic expression today, that travels forward to communicate beyond us. And it creates value and ownership and beauty in our communities that will last forever.
Well, ergo the historian speaks, right?
Beautiful. Absolutely. It also, you know, inherent in the arts, no matter what sector you're coming from, are so many values for the kids that grow up with the arts: collaboration, problem solving, critical thinking. You know, you learn about things like math and science through being in a performance or an art project that has to do with those situations. And you remember them because that's real learning.
Especially people that are visual.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to thank all of you today and everybody that called in. And again, the phone number for Arts Obispo
is 805-544-9251.
And the website
is artsobispo.org.
And if people want to sign up to participate in being a survey taker, you're looking for them.
Right. We need survey takers. You may volunteer. You can call us and we'll sign you up. Or you can go to the website, and on the front page of the website is a call for volunteers specific to this survey. Click through it, just a few steps, and we'll be in touch with you. I fail to thank Action for Healthy Communities.
Okay. I want to thank my guest today, Angela Totti, who is the Executive Director of Arts Obispo, Wendy Marie Martin, Business Director for the Clark Center, Eva Ivalus, almost, who is the Curator and Executive Director for the History Center.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you for being Curator. And everyone who called in with comments and questions, next week, join host Fred Monroe, your host. And Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX, and made possible by underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Your suggestions for future show topics are always welcome. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.